Well, today is part four in our series called Exceed. And God desires you to exceed. Did you know that? That God desires you to exceed. God desires you to grow and produce 30, 60, and 100 fold of what was sown into you. Today's message is going to be different because I'm only going to preach for 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes at the end. Because today we have a special guest on video. And how many of you like science? Okay, awesome. If you like science, you're going to enjoy it. If you hate science, especially brain science, you're going to be you're going to be blown away either way. Okay? So this doctor who we're going to have on video is going to blow your mind. But I love science to study science and understand how this world works. Amen? If I ask you another question, how many of you love God and science? Amen. See, there's a way of thinking out there in a world that you have to choose one or the other. There is an agenda out there that if you choose God, you can't choose science. Although there's been amazing scientists who were Christians. And there's 40% of scientists today who are Christians. And they said, if you choose God, you can't choose science. And if you choose science, you can't choose God. And that's the world agenda, powered by, I think, Satan himself. Because I believe in both. I love science and I love God. Science can explain to me how my body works, right? Science can explain to me how the planet works, how the earth patterns and earthquakes and weather patterns, how those things work. Science can explain that. Science is now beginning to understand how our brain works. They're just on the tip of it because our brain is so complex and magnificent and big. But science can explain to us even how the universe works, how the sun and the moon and the stars, how all that gravity works. They can explain it to us. Where science stops short is going deeper. They can explain to us how the world works, but they can't explain to us who created this world. For example, science can explain to us how my Ford F-150 works. It's pretty complex. Science can take it all apart, dissect it, right? And they can explain how my Ford works. But science falls short of introducing me to the creator of Ford, Henry Ford. Do you see the dilemma here? So science can explain how the world works, and we need to know that. But they stop short of introducing us to the one who created this world. And science will say, well, this world was created from a Big Bang. And scientists will often post the question to us believers. They would say something like this. Well, who created God? Right? Who created God? If God created everything, then who created God? Well, as my kids sometimes ask me that, and they go to Christian school, I tell them, we don't believe in a created God. If God is created, He's not God. You see what I mean? So where did God come from? Well, the answer is He always was. Well, our human minds cannot get that, right? He always was. Because if God was created by another God, then who created that other God? And if that God was created by another God, see, it's unending. So God always was. He's the source. We came out of Him. Everything came out of Him. But science has a problem too. Because scientists who believe that we came from a Big Bang, they believe in this little dot. And I asked the scientists today, who created, what are the dot came from? And what is it made of? Those of you who study science, you will say, the little dot that exploded and created everything, the fine-tuned universe that we have. And it's so fine-tuned that if you move something just a little bit, it doesn't work. But that little dot is created of energy and matter. Who created that energy and matter? Well, it was always existent. Also, Mr. Scientist, you also believe in something that was always existent. Come on, think with me. Don't get lost. So I believe there was a God who always existed. You believe there is a dot. that always existed. Now, I'm not making fun of scientists. You know, they're smart people. You know, it's just science can explain to us how this world works. But they fall short of introducing us to God. And God revealed himself through the Bible and through Jesus Christ. God revealed himself in history. So I believe in both. Obviously, I have to believe in science. Science is explaining things, makes sense. But also believe the one who created all that science is trying to explain. Amen? Isn't that good? So if somebody asks you who created God, tell them you don't believe in a created God. He always was. And if they say, you know, but it is a problem because I have a hard time understanding how did God was always was. What do you mean no beginning, no end, right? And when I get there, I'll ask him. Okay? When I get there, I'll ask him. Amen. Well, was this okay? Or was this okay? Or is this like a science class and you tune out? I love science and I love scientific theories so much. I love studying new theories, scientific theories. One of the theories I created, actually, and never published it. I published it on my own blog, so if you want to read it, I created the theory of a virgin birth and how it's possible. If you ever want to know how virgin birth, I call it, is not a miracle, and it's an interesting theory. You should read that sometimes, and if you're really smart, let me know what you think. Amen. Okay, well, today we have a special guest on video who will be talking to us about our mind. And she's going to be talking about how memories are created. How do they go from short-term to long-term memories? How habits are created and how skills are created. Okay, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become a professional at something. You have to do it for 10,000 hours to be good at it. Okay, so basketball players, they have to be in gym so long to be good at it. Nothing happens just like this. You were not born with certain, you know, this amazing skills and abilities. We have to develop it. Some of us have good inclination in the area, but we have to develop it. And so what she talks about, there's four different levels of how our mind works. And she applies it to different soils that Jesus talked about. Because Jesus talked about our mind, okay? What is our mind? Our mind is something that sends signals to our brain, okay? And then our brain repeats it, okay? Like your computer, you send a signal in your car. If you put this program in your car, it'll just continue to do it, especially on a diesel truck. If you put a chip, it will continue to do the same thing, unless you put another chip and then it'll start doing something else, burning more gas or blah, blah, blah. Same with our brain. You put negative information there, it keeps playing negative and producing negative. You put godly truth in it, it continues to do truth. Negative thoughts damage your brain. The truth of God's word prospers your brain. Listen, negative thinking like envy damages your brain. Watch this, okay?
It takes time. It takes time for you to build it, and you're designed to do that. That's what the brain research shows. We are designed to develop our spirit man. Those that develop their spirit man have the highest functioning brains. Isn't that great? Okay, so let's look at this side very quickly. This is what it looks like inside the brain. As you are thinking right now, you are growing these thoughts in your brain. So I just want to show you a visual image. These are neurons in a petri dish, and they're basically the neurons in your brain that look like these tree-like structures. So as you're listening to me now, you are basically causing your DNA to express, and you are building your thoughts into physical structure. So when I talk about implanting stuff, you are implanting stuff. As you are thinking about stuff, as you are directing your attention, you are growing stuff in your brain. And that stuff will stay there or it will go away, depending on what you do with it, depending on what kind of listener you are. So let's have a look at the sower and the seed. Matthew 13, 18 through 19 from the Message version. You can read from any, but this is from the Message version. Okay, when anyone hears the news of the kingdom of God and doesn't take it in, It just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. This is the seeds the farmer scatters on the road. So we have two analogies, stuff going in your heart and going out by the evil one. And we have the analogy of the farmer just scattering on the road and the birds eat it before it actually has a chance to take root. So what happens now is I'm throwing words out at you and I am throwing images out at you, and you are taking that information in and you are doing something with that information. Let me show you what you're doing. First of all, let's just quickly summarize this. So the seed scattered on the road, it doesn't go in. This is listener type one. What does it look like in the brain? Okay, so here's you and I when we woke up this morning, everything hanging out of our head, and then we kind of put our face back on. And we receive the information through those five senses. It passes into the brain. I'm not going to go through the 100 structures, don't worry. But basically, it goes into the brain. Now, just have a look. Mac is going to point to a structure called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is that orange tube thing that's attached to the blue thing that goes around the middle of the brain. So if you look where the green is, orientate yourself where the green is. Look at the gray blob underneath that, and then look at what's surrounding it. Can you see like an orange tube? Okay, that's the hippocampus. Okay, this thing plays a huge role in memory. It plays a huge role in how you form your thoughts. So, and it's very respondent to your mind, your whole brain is. But this is kind of the first place. There's a first place where we start listening. So information comes in and it pours into the hippocampus. It pours through the doorways of the brain, through the five senses, and it pours through as an electromagnetic flow and a quantum flow of energy through the hippocampus from the back to the front of the brain for 24 to 48 hours. At the same time, you build a temporary memory in the outer part of your brain. So where you can see that brown part on the outside above, there's green, there's pink, there's brown, and there's like tree-like structures. We build these tree-like structures in the cortex of the brain, the outside part of the brain. So we, God graciously allows us to build a temporary memory. So I'm scattering out words, and what has happened now is that you built a temporary memory. You saw the little petri dish of things growing. You've grown protein structures in your brain to hold this, and you have basically got activity in your hippocampus. But if you do nothing with this information, by Tuesday, within 24 to 48 hours, the temporary memory would have denatured, which means it would have just converted to heat energy, and all the information flowing through the hippocampus will just also convert into heat energy. So my words will become hot air if you don't do something with them, which is kind of a waste of time. So you don't want to, nor does your pastor, neither of your pastors want you to come here on Sunday and just turn his words in or her words into hot air, do we? Okay, so, right, so let's see how we can change the situation. So what happens is you build a temporary memory. Look at this as a neuron. Look at the top, that's a tree, that tree-like Christmas tree-looking thing. That's what you're building. So when I say you're planting, you built a temporary memory, that's what it looks like. There's a close-up of it. Okay, so now let's look at the next type of listener. So listener type one, the seed is scattered. Within 24 to 48 hours, it's gone. Some of us are like that at school. Some of us don't really listen to what the teacher's saying, and after 24 hours, we've forgotten the stuff, right? The test, and then it's gone. You know, you don't want to go to a doctor who's forgotten that information 24 hours later. Okay, so just a little point there. Okay, so the seed cast in the gravel, and by the way, God doesn't like that. I just have to say this. I've been prompted by the Spirit to say He has designed you as a deeply intellectual being. To not learn what you're supposed to be learning with the greatest spirit of excellence is an insult to God. He's given us this world to understand and learn about, so we should be using it properly. Okay, so the seed cast in the gravel. So the first one was scattered. This is cast in the gravel. This is the person who hears and instantly responds. There's enthusiasm, there's excitement, but there's no soil of character. So there's an immediate burst of enthusiasm. This is the person coming to the conference. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to change. I'm going to do whatever it is. Lots of enthusiasm, lots of excitement, lots of emotion. When you like that, there's lots of chemicals flowing through your brain. We'll see that in a moment. But there is no soil of character. And without soil of character, when the emotions wear off, some difficulty arrives, nothing to show for it. Okay, so this is super sad because quite a lot of things have happened in the brain at this point. So let's quickly summarize. This is the seed cast in the gravel. They hear, they respond with enthusiasm. No, but there's no character. Emotions wear off, difficulty arrives, gone. This is definitely not what that woman was like. She was definitely not listener type one or listener type two, the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, so in the brain, information goes in through the five senses, passes into the brain, activates the hippocampus, builds the temporary memory builds. Okay, so we have these little branches, and now we've gone beyond day 24 to 48 hours. So this listener type 2 has actually paid a little bit more attention. Generally, listener type 2 gets to around about day 4, day 5. Okay? Day 4, day 5, maybe even day 7, which is really good. Okay, so you'll see what I mean by this. Have a look at the red circle and have a look at the little, these little shapes there, these bumps, lollipops, and mushrooms. The girls briefly learned about this yesterday. So as what has happened is as you pay attention daily, now this is daily meditation. So as you take that word, as you take the schoolwork, as you take the information I'm sharing with you and you read through the books and go through the DVDs, in other words, as you direct your attention, as you use the quantum Zeno effect, the repeated effort that makes learning takes place, like take place, repeated effort, running your race is repeated effort. It's daily. It's not just now and then. It's bring all thoughts into captivity. It's renewing of the mind. It is constant. Okay? It's daily. Science shows minimum of 7 minutes a day will make massive change inside of your brain. How hard is it to find 7 minutes to really learn something new? Okay? So when what we find is that this type of listener type two, where it's planted in the gravel and they get all enthusiastic, they actually get past 24 to 48 hours. And on day three, what we found is that a whole bunch of proteins are released with enzymes. Now, nothing in the brain works in isolation. Nothing in the body works in isolation. Everything works in a connected way. So when I talk about one type of protein, it's kind of the lead protein that I'm about to talk about, but it doesn't work in isolation. But what we do find is that when you take the time on day three to actually start processing this information, the CAMK2 molecule is released, which looks like a nano poodle. Okay, so on day three, listener type 2, with their emotional response and their enthusiasm, causes poodles to start walking, which is so cute. So where do the poodles walk? Let's see. Okay, we're going to go inside a neuron. Now look inside that. Look inside the long part of this is called an axon, where you see the purple tubes. That's the foot of the axon. Those purple things are much bigger than what they are in real life, obviously, but those are called microtubules. One neuron, now that's one neuron, and the brain has about 100 billion, and that's only 20% of brain tissue. One neuron has about 10 million plus microtubules. Okay, where do these little poodles walk? They walk inside the microtubules on a little grid. So in temporary, as the temporary memory forms, so these microtubules grow, and a little grid grows, but it's in temporary state. So it needs to be converted to from short-term to long-term memory. So track with me. When you run the race, what you are doing is taking your poodle for a walk. And you're taking your poodle for a walk along the grid inside the microtubule inside the dendrite. Now at this stage you can gather it's very small because there's 100 billion neurons and you can grow up to anything up to 200,000 to a million dendrites on a neuron, and there's 10 million of these microtubules and there's a whole bunch of poodles walking in every microtubule. I mean, the numbers are tiny. God is magnificent. Okay, and the way he's made us is magnificent. So obviously this stuff's got to be complex, and we're only beginning to understand this. What I'm sharing with you is really cutting edge breakthrough memory research that is really, really, really new. A lot of scientists don't even know about this. So the church is learning this before a lot of scientists even have an understanding of this concept. Okay, that's brilliant. I love the fact that God's people will get this first before a lot of scientists. Okay, so let's see what happens. The poodle walks inside the microtubule, so inside that purple thing. So here's a cute poodle walking inside the microtubule. Look at its feet. It's got little furry feet. So that those furry feet, we have what we call quantum action. And as that little poodle, as you spend your 7 minutes, however long you want to spend, to a walk, thinking and focusing, directing your attention, the learning that is taking place from the repeated effort is going to cause phosphorylation, which is a quantum type action with the feet of the poodle, and it imprints the memory into the little grid. So the grid starts changing structure and starts looking more like a railway track. Okay, so what's very wonderful about this is that every railway track has got little signals. You've seen on railway tracks you have signals and that guides the train. Well, our tracks have signals and they're unique to each of us. So you're all listening to the same thing, but you are all, your poodles are all, well, will be walking on Tuesday morning, will be walking in your own direction. So the signals, because you have your own unique perception, you have your own unique viewpoint of this information. So there's something unique that God wants you to see in this information, which adds to the uniqueness of who you are. So your signals on top of the little tubes, on top of the little microtubules, actually guide the way that the poodle should walk, which is unique for each person. Now those signals are very significant because they're made of something called tau protein, T-A-U, tau protein, which you may have heard of is one of the things that causes neurofibrillary tangles in Alzheimer's. Okay? So listen to this. Hang on to that thought. Okay, so here are poodles walking, and listener type 2, you get the poodles walking, and you're all enthusiastic, and there's this boost of neurotransmitters, and what we find is that these neurotransmitters are released as we experience emotions. The equivalent of emotions physically is a lot of chemicals flowing inside the brain, different types of neurotransmitters flowing in different quantities. So God has these physical things that are representing the mind or capturing the mind in a physical way. So after 3 or 4 days, these chemicals start to subside, and as they start to subside, so the enthusiasm and the emotions start wearing off. Now, enthusiasm and emotions are very good for bolstering you when you are facing a difficulty. You know, you're kind of fired up. You know what it's like when you're in a conference, girls? We were here yesterday, you felt like you could conquer the world. Okay? And that emotional thing is fantastic. It's like God giving us that boost to start building that memory. But day 3 and day 4 come, and those chemicals are designed to subside and to withdraw and to go back and to be reused. Nothing is wasted in your brain. God is a God of order and incredible design. And so the chemicals are reabsorbed for the next burst of learning that's taking place. So when they subside, so do the emotions. So the bolstering is kind of gone. So now if a little bit of difficulty arrives, what do you have to draw on? Faith. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's when we need some of these good planted things to help us through this new thing that we are building. Do you get what I'm saying? So God wants us to have faith, because without faith we will not please God. And faith is not always goosebumps and emotions, and that's like getting you going. But the real stuff happens beyond the goosebumps. Okay, the real stuff happens beyond the goosebumps. Okay, so listener type 2 gets this going, and they walk the poodle, and they get to about day 7. And on day 7, let's have a look what it looks like. As that poodle's been planting and building this thing into a nice little railway track, so the branches of the dendrites start growing little bumps. Have you seen on branches how they have little nodes that the branches grow out of? Well, our dendrites in our brain do the same thing. So when we have pushed through and we've gone to around about day 7, we have a bump. So listener type 2 in the gravel gets emotions, gets poodles, and gets bumps. Fantastic. But then they give up when the difficulty arrives, the emotions wear off, and things just fall away, and that little poodle dies, and so does everything that the poodle's built. So what you've just gone through has become hot air. What a waste. What a waste if it was a very positive change that's happening in your life. What a waste if it was new schoolwork, a new scripture you were meditating on, a new piece of wisdom that you were busy implanting, and you lost it because of a lack of faith or a lack of just giving up, letting your soul not prosper. Okay, so let's try and see how we get to stage 3, to listener type 3. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. So where listener type 1, it just doesn't plant. Listener type 2, it plants, but it just gets chewed up once the enthusiasm and goosebumps go. Listener type 3, they actually go quite far. And they actually get quite, there's a lot of progress, but then the worries and illusions of life overtake. So instead of keeping our mind in this direction, we choose to shift our mind in this direction. We don't quantum Zeno here. Remember, quantum Zeno effect is the repeated effort that makes learning take place. So you can shift your repeated effort from there to there. So if someone tells you, why are you pushing through with this belief in whatever? Why are you, look at all the science says, or look what the medical reports say, or you hear a medical, in other words, the worries and illusions of life, or you see someone doing better than you, or someone gets a promotion, or someone gets a new car, and you think you should have got the new car. I mean, I'm giving you silly examples. But the desire for more and more blocks this great work that you have been doing. And you stop. So let's see, let's look at the summary. The seed cast in the weeds, the heart that you hear, but worries and desires for more. This is big here. Worry and desires for more and envy strangle and die thing. It causes things to strangle and die. So good stuff. The minute you start envying, you cause brain damage. The minute you start worrying, you cause brain damage. The minute you step into anything that is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, when the minute you move into that zone, you will choke what you have built. Okay, so listener type three, they go, the stuff goes in the brain. They start building these thoughts. The little poodle starts walking. The poodle actually walks to around about day 14. So if you have a look on the where the red circle is, you'll see the bump has now turned into a lollipop. So you keep your poodle walking long enough, you have a physical change on the outside. So the internal change is reflected on the outside, which is also quite symbolic of life. So the internal changes you make will produce fruit on the outside. So if you're just going to be a bump person, you're not going to be have too much persistence in your life. If you're going to be a lollipop person, you're going to get further, but you're still not going to make the difference that you should be making. So what we see with people that get choked out around about day 14, 2 weeks into the process, more or less, that is when those worries and whatever choke it out. Guess what? The poodle dies, the work you've done dies, the new thought dies, it becomes hot air. What a waste of time. She definitely wasn't the woman with the issue of blood, listener type 3. So now we look at listener type 4. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. To produce a harvest takes time, by the way. You don't plant a seed in 24 hours later or 20 seconds later, as we've been prone to be designed with this new Twitter feed. Well, not new, social media. There's nothing wrong with social media, but it can distort our perception of time and expectation. We think it must be, God must just do it now, you know, and it doesn't work like that. God has his own sovereign design, and we actually determine, as I already said, how quickly we access the goodness of his miracles in our life is going to be through how much planting we're doing. So how much wisdom we're doing, we get wisdom through the word. So as you study the word, you are studying his thoughts, you are getting wisdom in your brain, you are planting, and that takes time. And that's relationship. And as you do that, you start thinking his thoughts. You know, Einstein once said, I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. That's what we should be doing. I want to know God's thoughts. Because God's thoughts on the matter will be the right thoughts on the matter. Okay, so that takes time, though. To find out God's thoughts, you can't just read the scriptures. You can't just read a verse. You have to get back to that first love where you read a verse and you go, oh, that's unbelievable. This is incredible. Who knows Kenneth and Gloria Copeland? They're incredible. They are our mentors. We're blessed to have them as our mentors. When we sit and have discussions, we can't get beyond one scripture because the excitement that pours out of them about the scriptures is infectious. And that's what we should be like. We should be rejoicing over every scripture that we read. I have learned from them to get like that. And I sit there with this whole plan to read stuff and I get like through one scripture. And then I'm like, my mind is blowing. And that is what it should be like. I get so excited. Yet when I just read quickly, I don't get that depth. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, so this kind of person, the seed cast on good earth, they hear and they plant and they produce. This is listener type 4. So it goes in, activates the networks start growing, the dendrites. So now look at the red circle. Now you've taken your poodle for a walk beyond day 7. You've grown bumps. Day 14, you've grown lollipops. Sorry, I don't mean to be neglecting you, but this is the good side, so I don't want to walk that side. Okay, I'm pushing up to day 21, so now I've grown mushrooms. What we see when you've stabilized that grid into a trail railway track, you have a mushroom shape on the outside. So when you grow mushrooms, it means your poodle has walked for 21 days. And science shows us that when you've done 21 days, you've actually created self-sustaining proteins. In other words, a long-term memory has got mushroom spines all the way down the dendrites, which are supercomputers, and that information is imprinted in this grid, which now looks like a train track, and you now have a memory. You have a long-term memory. You have some substance and some evidence that you can do stuff from. So now you go to consciously practice for another 2 cycles of 21 days, because science shows it takes 42 days to build a habit, not 21. Sorry, it takes 63 days to build a habit, 3 cycles of 21. I have all this information in my books, Switch on Your Brain, 21-Day Brain Detox. I have online programs, all kinds of stuff that will teach you the stuff that I'm teaching you quickly, okay? So basically, when you practice using that after another 42 days, you have have planted that so deep inside of you that you have the kind of thoughts that that woman had. You see, when you reach day 63, when your poodle has been walking at day 63, you have implanted thoughts that you can reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And if you don't, what happens? Remember, this is the last thing I'm going to say. That little tau protein, remember the little tau protein, which is the signal on the railway track? Well, when you go in this direction, you can direct your energy in this direction as well. You can also take your poodles for walks in this direction. And as you take your poodles for walks in this direction, you're beating up your poodles. These are unhappy poodles because it's the wrong signal. It's not happiness. So you're building tracks that are breaking up and they start breaking up and the tau protein starts getting all twisted and you land up setting yourself up for brain damage and the dementias. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Lewy body dementia, frontal lobe dementia, these are not normal parts of our human function. It's years and years and years of not thinking correctly and not dealing with our issues. So keep your poodles safe. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Everybody's still awake. So let's review quickly. When a person hears new information, like the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God or we read it, what happens in our brain? If you're soil number one, it lasts in your brain for 24 to 48 hours, so for possibly 2 days. Many times I want to remember, like, what did I preach on Sunday? Right? That's the kind of, you know, when you receive information, it only lasts a short time if you are a hard soil. Then there's a second group of people. They hear the information and they get emotionally excited. It's like this. You looked at yourself in the mirror and you're like, that's it. I'm going to lose weight. That's it. Or you saw some model on TV or in a magazine and you're like, I'm going to look like that in a month. Somebody said, I had a goal of losing 40 pounds this summer. I got 50 to go. So you start, you get emotional. Have you ever been emotionally excited? You said, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to pray. That's it. I'm going to have a regular prayer life. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to pray. How many of you have been there? And you were emotionally got charged. Worship band played good and pastor preached well and it touched you. Holy Spirit just touched you. But then within 7 days, you're like, I don't know if that stuff really works. That means you got a rocky soil. The third soil, the third group of people is they actually work with it. They said, that's it. I'm going to quote the scripture. If I am insecure, I'm going to quote, for example, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows that very well. So you quote it for about 14 days. But then worries and other things choke that word. And then it dies. 14 days. Some of you are strong will. And then there's those who are good soil. They go beyond 14. They go beyond 21. They go 321, so 63 days. And that becomes a habit, becomes a part of them. It becomes a, for example, in business world, okay? You see a young guy and he has a huge opportunity and he can't do nothing with it. Why? It's all in the mind. Small thinking. And then you see another guy who does crazy things and you're like, how do you do that? And this guy doesn't know how to do it. Different soils. The good thing is this, that God loves to take our heart soil and break it apart. And I spoke about that so He can grow those seeds in us. Word of God is the seed and it wants to produce great things in our life. On Thursday, this past Thursday, I was feeling like a thorny soil. After this series, I've learned to recognize what I am in certain areas. I've been working so hard in the business world and the ministry. I've been working 12 plus hour days and I've just got tired. And I was like, God, I need to do one or the other, you know, complaining to Him. And He said, you know what you're supposed to be doing. I've told you that hundreds of times. You know how some people are called to be kings. Some people are called to be priests. Some are called to be kings and priests. Okay. Kings represent the business world. Priests represent the ministry. You see, some people do both. And God said, I called you to do both. And when it changes, I'll tell you. But I didn't believe him. I felt like, God, this business stuff is choking this stuff. And I felt like that. And I went to sleep kind of down on myself. And early in the morning, on Friday morning, I had a vision. And in this vision, can I tell you this vision? Because this happened three times in my lifetime. I had three of these visions in my lifetime. And I had it on Friday morning. I woke up at 6 in the morning. And in this vision, I preached the first service. I was in the church, preached the first service. And some lady came to me and said after church, her car wouldn't start, but it's pouring outside. So she's like, come, help me. So I leave the church. I go and try to plug her. And it looked to me like a plug, like an electrical plug was unplugged. And no matter how much I pushed it, it wouldn't go in. So here am I on the rain. And the weirdest thing is I'm not getting wet. I'm not getting wet. And as I'm trying to force that plug in, I see a man sitting on the roof of the car, and he's shining. His face is shining. And I look at him, and I'm like, who are you? Are you God? He said, no, I'm not God. I said, are you Jesus? He said, I'm not Jesus. I said, are you an angel? He said, yes, I'm an angel. I've been sent to you from God with a message. Okay? Now, let me tell you a little bit of the features of this angel. This angel was black. He had the band the girls use for hair. What are they? Headband. He had a headband, and his hair was up to about here. How did I know he was black? His face wasn't black because he shined. His face shined, but I could see the features. I could see the feature that this man is black, and he's about 6'8". He's huge, but he's not big. He's just muscle. And he's sitting on top of the roof, and I'm like, are you God? He said, no. Are you an angel? Are you Jesus? Three questions. No. Are you an angel? Yes. He said, I've been sent by God to deliver a message to you. And I said, okay, come on. Tell me what it is. And he said, I've been sent to tell you that God sent me to tell you that he loves you. And in my thoughts to the angel, I said, I know that. And he said in his thoughts to me, no, you don't. I'm like, I'm a pastor. I just preached a service. I know that God loves me. I preach to people that God loves them. And what the angel kind of looked at me and then disappeared. He said, no, you don't. And then I woke up and I started telling my wife and I started telling my friends. And one of my friends, Pastor Earl and Tanya, they told me, sometimes we can look at God like our boss. As a pastor, you know, he's my boss. So I'm like, God is my boss. I don't look at him as a father. But when Jesus looked at at God, how did he look at him? He looked at him as his father, not a boss, not some higher power, not a big man upstairs, not a police of the officer of the universe. That's not how Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at him as father. And God wanted me to know and wanted this church to know, because I'm the angel to this church. God wanted you to know that he loves you. Now, here's the breakdown. This is how you receive it. If you are a hard soil, you're like, yeah, I know that. But the seed doesn't go in deep. If you're a shallow soil, it goes in. You get excited right now. God loves me. Yeah. But by Tuesday, you'll be beating yourself up and be depressed again. Insecure again. Fearful again. If you're a thorny soil, you'll believe it for 14 days and then you're like, I don't know if he does. And I think I was that thorny soil. Somehow I believe that he loves me, but again, busy and life happens and you don't believe it with your heart, with your mind. Meaning it's a shallow belief. It's a shallow knowledge. Yeah, I know, you know, that there are stars in heaven, but how does that apply to my life? That's how we believe. I know God loves me, but how does that apply to me? And today, God wants us, listen, God wants this church to meditate. I'm giving you assignment. I want you to meditate that God is your father and he loves you unconditional. Now, some of you didn't have a good father, so that doesn't make sense. God, father, but I just want to let you know that God loves you more than your mommy does. More than your best friend, more than your husband. He loves you more than anyone could love you in the universe. And if the thought comes, a negative, toxic thought comes into your mind, or you're ugly, for example, tell that thought that God loves me. Counterfight the negative thoughts that come into your life. When a thought says you're worthless, you are a loser, fight those thoughts with the words, God is my Father and He loves me. Jesus said, Father, reveal to them, give them the revelation that you love them as much as you love me. Meaning God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. You got to meditate on that. That word has to become flesh. It's got to grow branches in your brain. You know that pornography grows branches in your brain? That's why you always want to go there if you start it. You know drug addictions and addictions, they grow pathways in our brain. Scientists already know that. The scientists will tell you now that pornography is bad for you. Well, the world used to tell us, no, it's good for you. It's not harmful. It's harmful. You're going to need a lot of Viagra when you're 25. Okay. Wrong class. That's for premarital classes, okay? Sign up for that if you're engaged. Our habits build pathways. She calls them railways. And then our memories walk on those railways. Amen. Those poodles, those are our memories, right? Create branches on. Too much for me to understand. But the message today is this. God loves you. And no matter what is happening in your life, you get mad at your wife or husband, just say, God loves me. You feel like you're worthless, say, but God loves me. You feel like you're not beautiful enough, ladies, but God loves me. And if God loves me, that's the only truth that I need to know and believe and have it be imprinted on my brain. Amen. God loves you. Amen. By the way, when I came back to church after plugging that, after the angel disappeared in a dream, vision dream, it just clicked quickly. I went to church, and when I walked in the service, we weren't in this building anymore. We were in a much bigger building, and there was a lot of people dancing on the stage of that building. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I'm like, in my heart, I said, look what the Lord has done. So it was a multiple area dream. I'm not going to go into detail, but the main point is God loves me.